Thanks, everybody, for tuning into The Shore Thing today. It is April 11th, Monday. Warren and Ryan here with you. We will discuss the Masters from the weekend as we have a golfer, Scotty Scheffler, who is on a Tiger-esque run right now. So talk all things Masters. We'll talk NBA playoffs as most of the matchups are set going forward. And a little bit of baseball is going on at the end of the weekend. And we have some sad news in the NFL world that we have to touch on. And how I would say it was reported. So we have that to go as well. Check us out, SoundCloud, Spotify, and the iHeartRadio podcast under the iHeartRadio app under the podcast section. I mess that up every time. I don't know why. But Ryan, how's it going?
It's going well, man. No baseball this weekend, so I thought it was going to be a nice, relaxing weekend. Boy, was I wrong. That just means I'm at home. So, you know, the to-do list grows quite long. But all in all, you know, good weekend. Got to hang out with the family, obviously, and hang out with the boys. So that's always fun.
That's good. All right. So I have a story from Saturday. Or just an interesting, a story. So I went out with a couple friends to watch the F1 race on Saturday night. And as a responsible human, knowing beverages would be consumed, I Ubered. And when I will tell you what, I don't usually Uber a lot, but lately, like the last two weekends, I was going out, and I was like, all right, I'll just Uber. The weekend before, the guy decided to go no AC on Saturday afternoon and put the windows down, which was an interesting, like, crack the windows. That was an interesting decision. And this Uber driver on Saturday night, I should say, the driving has been fine. But on Saturday night, this woman, as I get in the Uber, she picks me up, whatever, start going. I'm wondering what she is listening to. And I know now they have settings on if they want to, like, you can talk, you don't have to talk, blah, 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 quiet ride, whatever, anything like that. This woman had on like a murder true crime audiobook. I have some clips saved on my phone if you would like for me to play them.
Because sure, let them rip.
Because are you surprised that I have clips on my phone?
Yeah, no, not at all.
I don't know how well it will be. I just have to hold it up on my hold it up on the phone, but we'll give it a try.
Several shots in quick succession. The car sped away and the shooting stopped. The agent turned to his partner, but there was nothing he could do. The man had taken a bullet through his throat and had already bled to death. Sarah appeared in the hatch of the plane, screaming for help. They've been shot. Two of our guys have been shot. We need help. We need it now. Noah had slid off his seat on the floor.
All right, there's one more too.
And he pulled Sarah along as he hurried toward him. A bullet struck the concrete just in front of his foot, and he spun in time to see another agent preparing to fire at him. He thrust the pistol toward the man, squeezing the trigger three times in rapid succession. Two of the bullets struck the man in the chest.
All right, there's more to it, but you could get the gist.
Yeah.
What would you do?
That's a wild move. I don't know why she was like, you know, I mean, I guess like she's probably thinking, hey, I'm giving this guy a ride, like I'm gonna do me whatever I want to listen
for
to
sure.
With my car. But at the same time, I mean, where's the guest experience in there? I mean, that's a wild move. Wild move. A move I haven't seen before.
And like I understand, like if the guy, people want to have what they listen to on before. Like I had a guy listen to classical music one time or whatever. Whatever. You could go ahead. That's fine. Whatever. But this was another thing. And the kicker to this is that in the middle, she says, Alexa, go back 5 minutes. And then she said, Alexa, go back to the previous chapter. Like she missed something or wanted to listen to it again.
That's wild.
Yeah, quite
the classical music or like any type of music.
Fine.
Yeah, but yes. Like murder documentary or murder audiobook, that's like so niche. That's just a little much.
Yes. So what I was doing while that was going on was trying to find if there's like a Shazam for audiobooks or something. So I had to figure out what book it was. And I couldn't find anything. I couldn't find the app in time when I was going for it. So I don't know if there is a Shazam. If there is, I missed it. But
if there isn't, you might just came on a billion-dollar idea.
I know, wouldn't it be great? I don't think that's a billion-dollar idea though, because why would you need that when you would know the book you're listening to?
Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
But that's what I could. But that was a weird thing. That was weird. Caught me off guard. I made it safely though. That was good. Not that I was worried, but it was just a very gory book too. From the clips that I.
Well, yeah, played. Bullet hole to the throat.
I know, three shots, whatever. Already dead. Sheesh. If I find out the book, I will report back.
We'll be sitting here waiting with bated breath.
Well, you're going to be baited with breath for a while, because I don't think I'm going to be looking that up. All right, to the Masters. We go. It was, from a drama standpoint, a little disappointing after probably the fourth hole, I would say, when the second hole, we had a one-shot lead, Scheffler, a couple pars, Cam Smith. Starts out birdie, all right, let's go. This is it. These are the two hottest golfers in the world right now. Scotty's won, three out of five times. He's won three times in the last 40-something days. Cam Smith won the Players and won earlier in the year. Guys are just playing great. Then he got a couple bogeys in a row. Scotty was just money like he's been all week, and drama was fading. Whenever you think you got a chance. The next part with drama, I would say, was on the 12th tee. Cam Smith comes off a birdie on 11, and anything can happen on 12, water, who knows. And then Cam Smith, look, he made a bad swing, hit it in the water, made a triple bogey. But the thing for me is, like, he had to go attack that pin and had to go take on a risk. And if he made a double or a triple, yeah, that would suck. But you know what? If he was going to win the tournament, he had to force something pretty close to the pin to make Scotty think about it. And he did it, and it didn't work out this time. And that was pretty much the last of the drama we saw. But I'm not going to fault him for making a bad swing there. It's disappointing, but he needed to go for it. And he couldn't do it this time. He did it at the Players. He couldn't do it at the Masters. That's just what it is. But Scheffler wins a sick four putt on the last hole. After he three putted, you could see when he went to go, or when he went for the third putt, you could see his right thumb, if you watch it, was like shaking on the club as he was trying to grip the putter. Like he couldn't grip it. Like it was moving up and down. It was shaking so much. And then he missed that one. You're like, okay, let's regroup and get this. He could have putted, three more times. He would have been good, but sick finish there. For Scheffler.
Yeah, very good. Good thing he had built up such a big lead leading up to that part, or leading up to that 18th hole, because that could have been disastrous and an all-time meltdown. But at the weekend as a whole, I know a lot of golf fans, especially when it comes to majors and especially Augusta, when we kind of see a guy run away with it, they feel like I don't know if getting cheated is the right word, but you want a little bit of drama. But there were so many other storylines going along, mainly the Tiger storyline. With this Masters, that I felt like, even though Scotty had such a firm grip from really since Friday, and it was kind of a runaway from there, that there were still other things to kind of keep you engaged. And there's still guys making a ton of great shots. Obviously we see 18 with Rory and Colin Morikawa, which was pretty awesome. Those two guys kind of going back and forth with those back-to-back bunker shots and celebrating each other and having a good time there at the end. Was real fun. Cam Smith, I mean, he kind of had an up and down tournament. I mean, Thursday he was good. Friday he was really good. Or did I have that flipped? One of those first rounds he was really good. The other
Thursday
day he was just, Thursday he was really good. Cause he was leading after the first 18, correct? When he finished up.
He was one back, but it was
one back. Okay, yeah. He was right. Yeah, he was.
He shot four under. He made two double bogeys.
Yeah, the first and 18. He double bogeyed the 18, right? Yeah,
The first hole in the 18th till he doubled. He had eight birdies in the middle.
Yeah, but I was watching that while I was at the gym, and same thing Friday. But and then see him back in the mix Sunday. It was good to see. But again, Scotty had just such a big stranglehold on this tournament from Friday on, that it was really never in doubt. It was funny though, because watching Scottie Scheffler play on either Friday or Saturday, I saw him and I was like, man, I don't know why I always think of Scottie being like a younger guy. Like I always think of him being in like the Jordan Spieth, the Justin Thomas, like that kind of age range. I was like, I didn't realize that he was so old. And then they were like, the 25-year-old Scottie Scheffler. I was like, see, I was right. I knew Scotty was a younger guy, but he just looks like he's a dad of three with two mortgages and a job that he hates. See, that guy looks way older than he actually is. Every time I see him, I'm always like, man, I don't know why. I always think he's a younger cat with those, you know, the younger guys that we saw coming up, the ones that I mentioned. And then they repeated that he's 25 years old. I was like, why does this guy look like he's 45? It was just a little bit of a head scratcher there and a little shock to the system for me.
He's younger than Spieth and JT and those guys. Yeah. Not Morikawa though. I think he's the same age as him, but he's younger than Jordan, JT and like Berger and those guys from that class. I think him and Zalatoris are the same age too. Cause Will's 25, I think. But yeah, no, that's a big joke on golf Twitter is Scotty's played. He's got experience on the Corn Ferry, PGA Tour, and the Champions Tour, like the over 50 tour. And now he's back again. He's got so much experience. He's able to do this.
Yeah, I mean, he looks more like he's a 25-year pro, not 25 years old.
Yeah, no, for sure. The shot that won Scotty the tournament, I don't think there's any doubt that this is not the shot of the tournament and the one that won it for him and settled him down, because he made a good up and down on number one, a bad par. If you par the second hole yesterday, I'd say that's a pretty poor par. But the chip in on number three after he got relief from the scoreboard when he was in jail behind the trees. But there's that scoreboard where you get relief from, and he chipped it in for birdie, and that chip looked like it was going, I don't know, about 10 feet past the hole. Maybe it would have stopped a little earlier with the spin on it. You could see it spinning, but that looked like that was going about 10 feet by. Hit the pin, same chip, and Cam Smith bogeyed that. He goes back up to three after being a one-shot lead. That's the shot that settles him down, and I think won him the tournament there. That was it, and that was just like, all right, let's see what can happen now. But that chip in was the shot that will define his Masters, I think. Cause then, I mean, it was a one shot lead there, and you're like, all right, game on. And he chipped in, and that was it.
Yeah. He had a ton of shots that he hit. You know, that one is probably the one, like you said, that kind of got the engine roaring for him to make a run. But I mean, the guy was just throwing darts all weekend long.
Oh, yeah.
Just great shot after great shot. Even after he hit a bad shot, he'd friggin' stick it, you know, out of the woods, stick it, you know, 5, 6, 7 feet within the pin. And, you know, he was just like I say, he's locked in. He's obviously number one in the world, playing the best golf of anybody right now. And, you know, I think when a guy jumps out to a big lead and keeps it like that, I think it's interesting, because I want to see just like how big he could keep that lead. Like, it would have been awesome to see him finish at, you know, like 16 under to double up the guy, you know, to double up Rory, who finished at 8 under. That's the type of stuff I want to see when it's a big blowout. Luckily, he had the strokes there at the end to play with when he wanted to six putt. But, you know, that obviously didn't really come into play there at the end. But it could have been all timer, like a Greg Norman type of meltdown if fifth. If he wouldn't have played so well Friday, Saturday.
Yeah. The back nine on Friday afternoon too, I think he shot like 32 or something. It was when that's when he really separated. What did he shoot on the back nine? He shot 32 on the back nine on Friday. That's pretty much got him the lead. And he battled back on like Saturday. He was a little shaky there. He shot one under, which is good, but which was great. There were only 7 rounds under par yesterday, or on Saturday, I should say. But it just looked a little shakier. And then on Sunday, he played great. He's so good. I remember hearing, so I think I told this before, but when they had those Merito Samaritan things, I know this is kind of obvious. I'm not comparing this to the Masters, but he was 23, and he was on his first year of the PGA Tour, and I was like, man, this guy, he hits it so well watching him play. It's just like, it looks different than other guys out there, being able to watch it close, and just like, he's so, so good. I remember hearing one of the, not his coach, but a coach out there, was like he's gonna be he's a top 10 player in the world like right now if he just can get up and down a little bit more. And I mean, his scrambling this weekend was insane. Everything he was getting up and down from, making like 8-10 footers dead in the heart, not even on the edges. And then I remember walking off the, or like waiting around the back where a bunch of the caddies were or whatever. Will and Harry Higgs were like hanging around with us, and Scotty was going to beat Will by like a shot. And I remember Will saying, man, Scotty's going to beat me again. Like, this always happens, because they played a bunch of junior stuff together. And obviously Scotty won a bunch as a junior and like the US Junior Am. And I remember Harry Higgs he just said, he's too good. Like, he is so, so good at golf. And all the, there are a couple other pros around, and they were just all shaking their heads about how Scotty was just so good. And this was 2 years ago when he just got his tour card, and he's out there trying to find his way on tour. Like, they all had been, and Harry is 30. So he wasn't even playing with them really that much growing up, maybe a little in college if they did, but just that those guys knew, that were older than played with them for so long, that this guy is just like, he's just like that good then. And now he's on a Tiger like run. He's won 4 of his last 6 with a major in there. It's remarkable.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was good stuff to watch. You know, like I said, I feel like most of it was all, you know, and all the focus on Tiger. And then you go out and see, you know, an all-time performance from Scotty. It was, you know, I thought it was fun Masters. I was locked in even more so than usual, obviously because Tiger was in it. But I don't know, I just felt like there was something about it that just had me locked in a little bit more than I usually am.
There was the thing, we'll talk Tiger. To me, I always root for drama. So if someone has a big lead, I'm rooting for them I'm not rooting against them to lose. I just want shots down the stretch to come down the stretch. I want shots to matter coming down the stretch. Like, I want the most drama in there. So I was excited after the second hole, and then we're like, all right. But Tiger, we were talking about this last week before we teed up. I said him just teeing up no matter what was a success. And I think you were saying, if he made the cut, that would be great. And I agree. Like, if he made the cut, that would be fantastic. And the round on Thursday from Tiger, when he shoots 1 under and is sitting in 10th place after the tournament, after the first round, maybe this is prisoner of the moment. I truly don't think it is, considering he hadn't played a competitive tournament round of golf in like 500 something days, almost had to get his leg amputated, was looking at prosthetics. It was on one of the hardest walking courses in the world. I will say that was a top 10 round of golf in Tiger Woods' life right there, what he did on Thursday. Just truly spectacular stuff. I know it was 1 under. I know he made a bunch of putts. It wasn't the prettiest round of golf, but what he did Thursday, top 5, top 10 round of golf in the man's life.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I agree with that part about Thursday, but just the weekend as a whole, you know, I don't think anybody, you know, you kind of raise an eyebrow like, man, is this guy going to do this after Thursday? You know, like, is he going to put himself right in the thick of things? And then obviously as the tournament, you know, prolongs Saturday, Sunday, you know, the long hours and the miles, putting on the legs, walking, hitting, things like that, you know, he starts to slow down, you know, make some more mistakes, like you said, which it was odd that the mistakes that he was making were on the green and not the shots you know, between the tee box and the green. Now I figured if he was going to struggle, he was going to be, struggling hitting the ball and not putting, but you know, it was a tough, gritty performance. That was great to see him make the cut. Great to see him play all 4 days. You know, we got to see the Tiger in red. You know, it was fun, but yeah, after Thursday, you're like, man, this guy's really going to come back after a year, you know, a year removed from, like you said, almost losing his legs, being in a terrible car accident, and he's going to be right in the thick of things. It didn't play out that way, but it was still fantastic to see and a lot of fun. And Tiger is still absolutely yoked. I don't know. You know, that guy obviously had a little extra time to hit upper body and hit arms, but it's crazy to see him at his age and still be absolutely as jacked as he is.
Yeah, no, he is. His the Friday round, and I would say the weekend went about as I expected. I did, as much as I love Tiger, when you give me a +270 or +250 for him to bogey the first hole on Friday, hate to do it to you, Tiger, but you know what? That was free money. And the same thing on Saturday. I think it was like +225 too. I mean, he hates the first hole to begin with. That's just free money. And credit to him on Friday for bouncing back. He was 4 over through 5. Things looked, I mean, that's almost as bad a start as you could do. And then he rallied the ship to make the cut in tough, tough conditions. But the weekend, I'm not really surprised he put up a 78-78. You could tell, him walking just looks uncomfortable. It's just so, his leg is so skinny when the wind blows his pants and you can see, and he just limping all the time, especially downhill. It's so hard for him to walk, but everything about this week is a success no matter what. And he said he's playing in the Open Championship, which is at St. Andrews this year, which is a good thing. It's like the flattest course in the world. So that will be better, and that will suit his game a lot better. It's not long at all. But so that will be good. Don't know if he's going to play the PGA at Southern Hills. That's in Tulsa in like 5-6 weeks. So that's up in the air. I don't really know how many. I think we might just see him in the majors. Maybe he plays at the U.S. Open. Maybe he doesn't because he knows he'll have to put so much stress on the leg. Hitting out of the rough when he's in the rough. I don't know, but I can guarantee you he's going to play in the Masters every year, and we'll see what he does. But this week was a success for Tiger. And here's the thing: I was talking with a friend on the phone yesterday. He was at the Masters, so he's giving me the rundown. But I said this for Tiger: the PGA Tour should come out today and say, we will allow Tiger Woods and only Tiger Woods to take a cart when he plays in a PGA Tour event. Because I think the players would be a little pissed at first, but then they should be like, well, he's the needle, he moves it. And if Tiger can take a cart, he's going to play in way more events. That means more eyeballs on us. That potentially means more money for us out there. So the tour should come out and say, Tiger and only Tiger is allowed to take a cart. We don't care if you're pissed at us. Go play for the Saudi tour. Go leave us. We don't care. You'll never play again. But we're doing what's best for our game, and that is letting Tiger take a cart. So he can play as much as he wants. And now I don't know if Tiger would want to do that because it would be a special treatment type of thing, and he might not want that. But you know what? If I'm the tour, if I'm the commissioner, Jay Monahan, I say, you're allowed to take a cart in any tournament that's a PGA Tour tournament because we need you out there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if people should actually be pissed. I mean, it's Tiger friggin' Woods, for crying out loud. Like, if anybody's going to get that treatment, it's going to be Tiger. But I agree, I mean, you get him on the, you know, get him playing more, he's able to ride around on the cart, maybe have cart path only, make it a little bit more fair, so it's, you know, he can't drive right up to the ball in the fairway, you know, cart path only, so he's still got to do a little bit of walking, but not as much as everybody else. You know, put a little stipulation on it, but you know, it'll like I said, more eyes, more purse money for everybody to spread around. Obviously Tiger, he'll probably be in the running year after year, you know, year in and year out for the PPP, whatever the popular
pip, yeah.
Yeah. The so, you know, get him in there, get more eyes on the game. I know there's a ton of young talent and a lot of fun, but if you want to keep bringing in new viewers, it's going to be Tiger every single time.
Yeah, it is. And what do you think? I was wondering about this. Like, what do you think Spieth and Koepka and Xander and Bryson to extent, but I'll give Bryson a little bit of a pass. He's hurt. Who else missed the cut? That was pretty. I mean, those three names, Xander, Brooks, and Spieth. Tiger makes the cut on pretty much a leg and a half, and they're sitting at home on the weekend like that. I mean, I know you can't look at it, but that's a tough scene for those three guys.
Yeah, a lot of big numbers there at the end for a lot of the guys you mentioned. I was trying to go back and look. It doesn't look like they have the final numbers for some of the guys that missed the cut.
Brooks shot 75 on Friday because I bet him to shoot even or better, and I was livid at him. I thought he was going to play well. He just didn't. I know Jordan doubled the last hole to miss the cut. Xander, I don't even know if I saw a shot from him the whole tournament. But Tiger beat 80 guys on Thursday.
Yeah.
But just if you missed the cut and Tiger's making the cut, that's just a... I know you can't think about it like that, but man, that's a tough scene.
Oh, no doubt. And no doubt. I mean, you look at Bryson and he had... four amateurs finished better than him. I mean, they didn't make the cut, but they still played better. He's in shambles right now.
He got beat by Larry Mize, Fred Couples, and Bernard Langer, three previous Masters champs.
Yeah, and they're all twice his age or, you know, pretty close to it. So, yeah, it's a tough scene for old Bryson.
And Bernie and Larry Mize hit it like 250 off the tee.
Yeah, I think I saw Mize was like, I think he averages 230 off the tee.
Yeah, I mean, barely hits it out there. And then, of course, you need the length. He was hurt. Bryson, I guess, was following Tiger yesterday outside the ropes at Augusta.
Oh, really?
Which I'd say that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That he hung around there. All right. Well, one last thing. Like, it was great to see Rory. What a solo second for him. A typical Rory there. Because the thing was, no one really, other than Scheffler, Lowry a little bit on Saturday, Charles Schwartzel a little bit on Saturday, and then Cam Smith. No one else really, when you would say contended in this Masters. It was those were the guys, and then Rory got in there in the mix a little bit at the end. He got it within four after he eagled on 13 and could have been like, okay, things maybe if Scotty gets down there, he birdies a couple more coming in, gets it to 8 or 9. You never know, but it was good to see him. Maybe yesterday, I'm hoping yesterday was a little catalyst going forward. He said it was the most fun he's ever had on a golf course, which is kind of a scary thing to think. But he shot 64 on Sunday at the Masters. But it was good to see him there. Him and Morikawa in their best ball. I did the math. They would have shot 61, 11 under yesterday, which is pretty, pretty solid.
Yeah, it was fun seeing them, like I said, going back and forth. Two guys that a lot of people like. One guy that I like. So it was, like I said, it was fun to see.
And all right, that's pretty much it. It was a solid Masters, lacked the drama, if you wanted that. But good on Scotty. And now we'll, how much money do you think Scotty's made this year? Did you see this or not?
Yeah, I know he's made like $9 million in the last 56 days.
He's made $10 million this year.
Yeah.
On the tour. How much do you think his caddy's made?
I mean, I guess at least 250. I mean, or no, at least $1 million, right?
I think it's 800 and from the bonuses, like just on the bonuses. Obviously, Scotty, I would say a guy like Ted Scott's getting a salary, he's not getting paid by the week they work, but he's a good enough caddy where you get paid a salary and then you get the bonus. But the bonuses, it looked like he's made around like $875,000 just on the bonuses alone.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's pretty. And that would put him at 80th on the PGA Tour player money list this year. Yep.
That's awesome.
That is pretty, pretty good. Oh, there's one last thing we have to say. My buddy Brandon texted me and I tweeted it out. But is there any worse golf announcer that could ruin a moment than Nick Faldo on the Rory chipping out of the bunker on 18?
So it was funny. So I saw people complaining about it, but I guess I had missed it because I watched that whole sequence of Rory making his and then them coming back and Colin Morikawa making his. I must have just missed it. And then I saw on Twitter people like, oh, Nick Faldo, you know, like making, like, I can't believe you ruined it, or, you know, spoiler alert or something or whatever. So I missed it completely. But yeah, that's just a total
total fumbling of the bag there by Sir Nick Faldo.
Yeah, he just goes. He goes when Cam Smith's lining up his putt. I think they were on 13 or something. It was 13. And he just goes, I don't want to spoil anything, but you won't believe just what just happened. And you can hear a massive roar in the background. Yeah. And the only other roar you could think of would be like a Rory hole out or something. Like, or maybe a hole in one on 16. And then because they were late, CBS was late on a lot of stuff. Like I was checking the apps, the Masters app, which is the best app in the game. Whoever creates that app, every other tour tournament, PGA Tour, PGA Championship, Open Championship, they should just let whoever does the Masters app do their app because it is the best app out there. It is amazing. I went to look at the app like throughout the day and they'd show Rory. I'm like, he's already on like a hole and a half ahead. Like he already made this birdie, blah, blah, blah. But he just ruined it. He just said, well, you won't believe be able to happen. And they go to him in the bunker and he's like, look at this. And it's just like, come on. Like that would have been a huge, it was a huge moment. And that just took all the excitement out of it for me. Now he didn't spoil Morikawa making the bunker shot, which credit to him, but he just ruined the joy of the Rory bunker. Just the excitement of not knowing what would happen. Because if you watch enough golf, you know, like, If they're showing a shot that's going to be really good or if he's going to make it. Like they showed Tony Finau yesterday on the 13th hole. He's like 8 over par and he's got a 50 footer. And I was like, okay, well, this is going in. Let's just see how it goes. Like you know what's going on. But just like, come on, Sir Nick. Like, golly. Yeah, I was pissed about that. He screwed that up big time. He's a bad golf announcer too. He had a sting on Saturday with Scheffler. Where he was like, he's going to lay up to like 80 yards. This is when he got the drop out of the trees and he pulls a driving iron out and he hits it on the green and he's stunned that he hit it over the green. And it was just like, I mean, look what club he hit. I don't know. He's bad, but all right, that's it. That is the Masters. The next major we fire up in about 5 weeks up in Tulsa at Southern Hills, where Tiger won the last time they played there, 2007. We'll see if he plays again. All right, NBA. We got the playoffs going on. They're starting. And I would say for all the goodwill that Jason Kidd did this year, and he's proved us wrong as being a head coach. I would say last night he was being a little bit of a dum-dum. I know Luka calf strain. Who knows how long he's out for going into the playoffs. I know you want to get your guys work, but look, you're playing the Spurs. Just have him play a half. I know he said he was only going to play him through the third quarter, a little dress rehearsal. They're playing Saturday in the first game at noon. I get it. I get all that stuff. But, I mean, the one guy you cannot have miss any has a calf strain, and who knows, he could be out for a week. Couple weeks, no one really knows the severity of it, but just, I mean, unfortunate.
Yeah, no, 100%. And you know, the only reason why it's a story is because it happened, you know, right? Like if Luka would have made it out of there fine without any issue, then it would have just been like, you know, hey, you know, Luka played and you know, that was that. But obviously the fact that he comes up with the calf strain, those are always tricky because you never know how long it's going to be depending on how bad the strain is. But yeah, you know, it sucks because the Mavs are playing some of the best basketball in the NBA right now. You know, there's quite a few teams that are getting hot and the Mavs are right there with them. I think the Dinwiddie trade has been fantastic for him. You know, he's come in and he's really found a role with the Mavs. I mean, even Bertans been good as well. So, you know, you hope that it's not too serious and you hope that Luke is able to bounce back pretty quickly. Luckily they get a little bit of a break while they play the play-in games, but you know, kind of, you know, unfortunate for the Mavs when they're playing so well right now. And Luka too. Luka's been hot, you know, last few weeks.
Yeah, and look, the Jazz. I mean, the Jazz are. I would say that's a good draw for them. They should win that. The Jazz are a confusing team. Like, I think they all hate each other.
At least they all hate Rudy Gobert, probably.
Yes, or they all hate Rudy Gobert. But like without Luka, depending. If he's out for the series, out a couple games. I mean, I think they could pick one off against the Jazz because they got Dinwiddie. He's, as you said, he's been playing great. All their guys know the roles. and they're playing well, but Luka just, he creates everything for those guys. And the thing is, like, they got shooters now out there, more shooters than before, which is good, but I don't think they're going to win a series against the Jazz if Luka's not out there for the majority of the games. And that would be, here we are, another, this is Luka's, what, fourth year in the thing, in the league, and I know he's hurt now, but if they don't make it out of the first round again, I know he's hurt, but it's like, come on, like, everything comes to the playoffs, and KP gets hurt the first year in the bubble. Then last year, they just get beat. Kawhi goes bananas in game 6 and 7, and they're cooked. And now you got the Luka thing. It's just like, man, that's quite unfortunate. As we've both been saying, they've been playing great ball since the trade.
100%. Yeah. You know, another first round exit, you know, won't, like you said, will not be great for this Mavs team.
If it happens, though, I mean, I would think that they got a week. They got 6 days now, five or six days to get him ready to go. I would even say, you know what? But then the thing is, so he gets out there, he wants to play in game one. I would say there's a pretty high chance he could re-aggravate a calf strain if it's pretty weak. I know I'm no doctor, but it seems like there's a high chance to re-aggravate. Mm-hmm. Would you not agree?
100%.
So then he's out the whole series. I might just say, you know what? Let's rule him out of game one. Have they even released the schedule for game two yet, or have they just said the game ones? Because I just saw game
that
one.
I have not seen anything for game two.
So I would assume, and the first round, what, takes like 3 weeks. They drag this thing out so long. So if they play Saturday, they'd probably play Monday or Tuesday. So you know what? Just say, hey, you know what? We'll sit you out on Saturday. It's a game at home. The role players play better at home. See if we could steal this one. And then we move on to Monday and Tuesday or see what's going on there. I think that should be the play no matter what. Just, I know it's hard to tell a guy like that to sit out, but it's the betterment for the long run. I would say just, you know what, we're sitting you out on Saturday and we can move on to the game two. But
yeah, no doubt.
We'll see what happens. All right, the rest of the West, the Suns, I'd say they're the clear-cut favorite, Ryan. I know you are happy about that, even though I think you were a little trepidatious about giving Chris Paul a max deal in the offseason, but it looks like so far it's worked out.
Yeah, 100%. Credit to me for the reverse jinx. I don't know if you remember at the end of last season, I said that was probably gonna be their best shot to win a championship, and they kind of blew it. But all they did was come back this season and be better than they were even last season, and look much cleaner as a basketball team. Even when Chris Paul was out those 3, 4, 5 weeks, whatever it was a pretty long extended time. They played really well. Devin Booker, his game took another step, which I didn't know was possible. He's been great. Mikal Bridges, all the usual suspects have been really, really good for the Suns. And I think they are, the clear-cut favorite, which worries me. But hopefully we can make a nice little run again and see if they can finish it off this time.
I mean, they do have a pretty good draw, I would say. I mean, I think the Mavs could – they do own the Mavs, though. When the Suns were bad, they owned them. Still, I think they do. But the draw, I would say, is pretty favorable. They wouldn't have to face the Warriors or the Grizzlies, and I don't even know what the – I don't know what to make of the Grizzlies. They're really, really good. But, like, they're hurt all the time, but they're really good when Ja's out. Like, they don't lose when Morant's out. I don't really know what to make of them. But what's the deal with the play-in? Is Paul George is back, but Kawhi, he's not playing, is he?
Correct. Yeah, no, Kawhi's not playing at all.
Okay. I would think I would rather play the Timberwolves than the Clippers. Not saying that the Clippers would be.
Oh, 1,000%. 1,000%. Look, Anthony Edwards is very good. But he's about the only one on Minnesota that have to worry about. No, please. Last time the Suns played the Timberwolves, he scored 3 points in the second half, and DeAndre Ayton put 35 points on his head. Karl Anthony Towns is soft. He's bad. He's overrated. He doesn't even worry me in the slightest when it comes to playing Minnesota. So that's who I would like to play is Minnesota.
Hot take on Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh, my God. There is not a softer guy in the NBA than Karl Anthony Towns.
Guy's averaging pretty much 25 and 10.
As he should. I mean, he touches the ball. I mean, on how many shots? He touches the ball probably every other possession. If it's not him, it's Anthony Edwards. So good. I mean, so he's doing exactly what he should as a number one overall pick or, top lottery pick. But he's still, I mean, don't even get me started. You already got me started.
I got you started. Don't even get me started. I didn't even get there. I just said Carl Anthony Towns. You go bananas on the man.
Yeah, no, he's like, nobody softer in the NBA, and nobody that tries to, I wouldn't say that tries to act like he's tougher, but here's the thing. Like, it's not Marcus Smart, fake tough guy, but it's because Marcus Smart does have some edge to him. So that I can at least give him the credit of like, hey, like if it goes down, like Marcus Smart is probably about it. But Carl Anthony Towns, if it goes down, he's making sure all other 14 guys on the roster are standing in between him and whoever's causing problems, and then still trying to jaw a little bit. Like, he is there's nobody more frustrating to me than Carl Anthony Towns, because he should be so much better than he is, but he is just so soft and such a mental little person that compared to what he actually should be.
He should be so much better than what he is. He's a three-time All-Star. He was third team NBA in 2018.
All-Star games don't matter.
In the West, they do. Yeah, All-Star games do matter. Three-time All-Star. He was all NBA third team.
When you're the first overall pick, that's exactly what you should be doing.
So what? Yeah, so he's a three-time All-Star. So far, he's made an All-NBA team. Like, what? I'm so confused. You should be doing that. Yeah, he's doing that. How many NBA, how many number one overall picks have been busts and stuff like that? People would kill for that. Absolutely. Kill for Towns' career.
But when have the Minnesota Timberwolves ever been in the thick of anything in the West? Never.
Starting now.
As a seventh seed in the playing game? All right.
Yeah, and they made the playoffs 2 years ago, I think. They got swept
but they've never been in the conversation of, oh, watch out for the Timberwolves. They might make a run. They could be right up in there for winning the conference. No.
That's not his fault.
Regardless, Carl Anthony Towns is not good.
You pretty much just said all of the it's his fault that they're not going more places. He's trying his best. He's trying. They gave him no help. They finally give him a stud wing in Anthony Edwards. They give him a good point guard in D'Angelo Russell. They put good shooters around him in Beasley. They get him. They get some good wings out there, and they get a seven spot in the play-in, and they would be. They're having one of the best seasons they've had in a long, long time. Like, the Timberwolves have been a doormat in the NBA, and you're ready to just shit on them. Like, come on.
Oh no, not ready.
Shitting on them. Come on. Like,
no, no, no. Exactly. I'm not ready to shit on them. I have been shitting on them. The Timberwolves, Carl Anthony Towns specifically, is a fraud. Anthony Edwards, superstar. He's going to be on the same level that we see John Morant right now. Anthony Edwards is going to be on that level here in the next season or two. Very, very good. But as far as Carl Anthony Towns as a whole, fraud.
I don't think he's a fraud at all.
Well, you know, we can.
He's a good player. He's a great player. He's a player.
A very average player. Definitely very average player.
A three-time All-Star is an average player. Okay.
Yeah.
He's not average.
Very average.
Let me tell you what. You cook up some NBA takes.
I'm saying,
in general, like you got some. The NBA is where you let the takes fly. Let me tell you. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but that's where you let the takes fly.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes I'm wrong. Most of the time I'm wrong.
Yeah,
sometimes I'm right. And you know, it's fine, but you just let them. That's just how I feel. Like, in a draft, in a redraft of all the NBA players, I don't know that Carl Anthony Towns makes my top 100.
Your top 100?
Yeah.
Was Carl Anthony Towns, he's going to be on the All-NBA team this year, and that means you're pretty much a top 15 player in the league. Yeah. I would say.
Yeah, but when it comes down to playing the game, not on my top 100 list.
Because he's a soft guy.
Because
he's getting
soft.
25 and 10.
Yeah, it's a soft 25 and 10.
A soft 25 and 10. Okay.
When everyone's doubling and helping on Anthony Edwards, the actual leader and the actual superstar of the team, then yeah, it's easy to get these little tap-in buckets. And he's a good shooter. Don't get me wrong. The guy can shoot it. Absolutely. But to come out and say that you're the best big man shooter we've ever seen, that's laughable.
I mean, Dirk is right up there. Other than that, who's better?
I could probably come up with some names.
We'll come up with some names then.
Not off the top of my head. I'd have to go back.
Well, and... I mean, if he's so garbage, I think you should know that. The man shot 40. What did he shoot? He shot 41% from three this year.
Yeah, no, very good. That's a good shooter.
That's a great shooter.
Yeah, no doubt. Fine. But still, Carl Anthony Towns, not a good basketball player. You're looking at the stat sheet. I'm looking at more than just what's going on in the stat sheet.
No, look, Carl Anthony Towns put up a bunch of he's been an empty numbers guy for a while. He's not an empty numbers guy. He was trying. He just needed some guidance with them. He just needed some more help around him. Yeah, NBA, you can't do it all by yourself. And he finally got some help. Where's the ice boy? Okay, so what do you think Karl Anthony Towns was in 3-point percentage this year in the NBA?
He was 41%.
No, like ranking in the ranking.
Oh.
I think this might surprise you. Holy cow.
Top five?
17th.
Okay.
So there were, and okay, I'll throw him in. He's 16th, actually. Him and Josh Richardson both shot 41%, but there were, boy, NBA, talk about good shooting. There were 26 guys this year that shot better than 40% from three.
Exactly.
Hold on. First of all, he's the only power forward. He's the highest 7-footer up there. He's the highest power forward or center up on the list. But I'm just saying, in general, in the NBA, boy, 26 guys shooting 40% from three. That's guys can shoot the ball. Guys can shoot the ball. Who do you think led the NBA in 3-point shooting?
Oof. Shoot. You know, your first thought goes to some of the superstars. It's not Steph.
He's sixth.
Oh,
42%.
3-point shoot. I couldn't tell you. Give me the top five.
Luke Kennard shot 45% from three.
Exactly. Yeah. That's yeah.
He shot 45. Desmond Bane shot 43%. Tyrese Maxey shot 43.3. Cam Johnson 42.7.
He's been filling it up.
Alonzo, he only played 35 games. He was 42%. And then Seth Curry, 64 games, was at 42.2. But Luke Kennard, 45%. He played in 70 games this year. So yeah. It's not one of those, hey, he only played an amount there. But a lot of guys shooting well in the NBA.
Yeah, because that's the game now. So that's why
it's great.
Carl Anthony Towns shooting 41% from beyond the arc. Not really as – if he would have done that back 10 years ago, you're saying, holy shit, this guy might be an all-timer. Right now, he's a jag.
Oh my god. I'm looking up. Oh, here's the thing. Oh, you're gonna be in the mud with this one now. This is the fifth season he shot over 40% from three. 2017, 42% from three, 40% in 2018, 2019, and then the 2019-2020 season he shot 41% from three. So he's been doing this for a while now. This is 4 years in a row, pretty much.
So it sounds like to me he hasn't gotten any better. He's still the same player he has for the last 5 years.
Oh god, here we go. All right.
Here we go. Let's give the guy flowers.
He's consistent on his shooting.
Consistently staying the same. Credit to Carl Anthony Towns. He hasn't gotten any worse. He hasn't gotten any better, but he definitely hasn't gotten any worse.
Oh, I think he's gotten better. But isn't that good that you don't plummet?
Me personally, I like to see guys ascend. If you're a guy that likes to just stay where you're at, I think that's perfect for Carl Anthony Towns, perfect for Minnesota. That's exactly the guy he is. So I appreciate you bringing up that point that he's happy with who he is as a player and isn't interested in getting any better or getting his team to that next level.
He's got a lot of Carl Anthony Towns,
ladies and gentlemen.
He's got a lot of personal tragedy going on the last couple of years.
So you know who else did? Tiger. What did he do?
Tiger shot 78-78. That's what he did. Also, personal tragedy, I would say Tiger's was a self-inflicted tragedy, not other family tragedies going on, for as Carl Anthony Towns had. Tiger was it.
Are we power ranking tragedies now, Warren? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, I would. I would say Tiger was self-inflicted. Carl Anthony Towns, really nothing he could do for that. But all right, the East. What do we got to think that the East is way tougher than the West, correct?
Yeah.
Like the East is going to be a dogfight.
And you know what's funny? I don't even think the top team in the East is the best team.
Who is it? The three or the two?
I think it's the three.
I would agree. But I mean, Boston's been the best team in the NBA since the new year. They've been the best defensive team. They've figured it out there. I mean, if I'm the Nets, I would say I would want to lose to the Cavs on Tuesday so I could play the Heat and not the Celtics.
Yeah.
That's what I would. I would rather play the Heat in the first round than I would the Celtics.
Yeah, I probably agree.
But the thing about the Heat, they had a ton of injuries this year, and they just are so deep. Like those guys, you want to talk about knowing their role. Those guys know their role. They're like Max Strus and all the guys on the bench there. They know what they're doing. But I would rather play the Heat than the Celtics. I think the Sixers are in for a quick exit. The Raptors are, they're going to miss Thybulle for every game they play in Toronto because he's not vaccinated. He's not even allowed in the country, I think. So he's out. And I mean, the Raptors, they got to be the surprise of the season, playing up to the fifth seed. But no, I would say the Bucks are probably the best team out there, but I would avoid the Celtics at all costs until I had to play them.
Yeah. Yeah. They're definitely playing the best right now.
Yeah. I think we could get another repeat of last year's finals.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I definitely wouldn't be surprised if that did happen. You know, that's probably, I wouldn't say worst case scenario, but I would like for Phoenix to be able to avoid that. Again, I would not be shocked if we saw the repeat.
And I would have to say that the variance would be more on the Bucks not making it than the Suns, because as I said, the East is tougher. I mean, the Suns are +110 to win the West.
Yeah,
that's pretty tough right there. But that's what we got for the playoffs. They get underway on Saturday. We get the playing going on right now. Starting tomorrow night, so we'll see what happens. Should be a good time with the playoffs going on.
Yeah.
All right. One last thing. Sad news over the weekend.
Brutal.
Brutal news. As Dwayne Haskins was crossing a highway in Miami, in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
And got hit. Which.
Yeah.
That's in. I'm not going to speculate, but we'll have to hear what happened there. And he was hit and killed, which is really, really sad news because great, fantastic Ohio State quarterback was in the NBA trying to find himself, or in the NFL trying to find himself. Just sad that his life was taken too soon. And then, of course, Adam Schefter. I hate to make this Dwayne Haskins thing about Schefter, but
he kind of did it himself.
He did it himself. I mean, just a ridiculous tweet about saying he was struggling to catch on, just like, no, not like, and then quickly deleted, but screenshots last forever. It's been 2 days. He still hasn't apologized for this, and he tries to do it. And then even in the story that he helped write from the ESPN Newswire, it said that he struggled to catch on at places, and he was struggling, and they're listing a stat. I know you got a list of stats sometimes, but, like, just saying he was struggling, he had this and that. It's like, I mean, come on. Just the guy got killed. Like, don't just slander the man. Come on.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this is his second misstep in as many tweets announcing big news. You know, when he announced the Deshaun Watson thing, saying that he was found innocent or that he, you know, knew the truth, whatever the case, whatever it was. Yeah. But, you know, so the second swing and a miss for Shefty, for P-Boy. Again, the story is tragic from what I've seen and read, you know, kind of preliminary stuff, is that he had a rental car that ran out of gas, and so that's why he was crossing the highway. And then the other thing too is that it's being investigated as vehicular homicide, which is, I mean, I feel like homicide, there has to be intent behind it. So, you know, rather than it just being an accident. So that part's interesting as well. But yeah, just terrible story about Dwayne Haskins. Like you said, you know, football stuff aside, you know, obviously people just kind of, they handle death and things like that a little differently. And Twitter is good and bad for that, because, you know, people, they want to relate to it. They want to, you know, give their own spin on it. And when I say people, I mean fans. And you know, you kind of forget that it's somebody, you know, a young life that was lost, you know, 24, 25-year-old kid that had, you know, a huge future and a bright future ahead of him, even though like Schefter so elegantly put, you know, struggled to start off with. Who cares about that? You know, the guy was still sticking around the NFL and trying to make his dreams come true. But Schefty, I mean, I think he needs to start having Bruce Allen proofread his tweets before he sends them, because he has been missing a ton lately.
Oh, it's just, he's just such a, what is, so he's, did you know he re-upped with the new $9 million deal at ESPN?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they re-upped Woj for $7 million. And the thing about, like, Schefter and, like, Schefter, he doesn't really give analysis. He's not an analyst. He doesn't really give his opinion. All he does is, and this is what a guy from WFAN said, he breaks news on Twitter for free. Like, ESPN doesn't even get, yeah, he's got 9 million Twitter followers or whatever, and he breaks news, and he'll go talk about the news on ESPN whenever it goes on, but he breaks news on Twitter for free. Like, if you give Adam the source, if you give anybody the sources that Schefter has, guess what? They could probably do the same job that he does.
Yeah.
So is he worth $9 million? When you're letting all these others, some talent people go, I don't know. It seems like a lot of money for him. And we've seen how many, he just makes the Watson. What was the other mistake that he made before that? Yeah. The Bruce Allen thing, as you said, it just seems like he's been, any journalistic integrity that he had is gone going forward. And he just, oh, it was the Jimmy G agent thing.
Yeah.
When he's carrying the water for the agent and all that. And it's just like, dude, like, what are you doing? Come on. Like, what happened to you? What happened? Did you just get caught up in your job and just you've got so far gone of just, I need to break the story. I need to break the story that anything when you were at the NFL Network cutting your chops or at the Denver Post, any of the journalism stuff at Michigan that they taught you, just going out the window now? Like, what is going on? There's like no human side to him. It's like everything, every story to him is just a transaction, and he doesn't care about the people involved at all.
It's very weird, because like, he tries to put his own commentary on these tweets so they don't sound like just so robotic or like in just a news headline, but his commentary stinks, and it's what ruins it all.
I know. It's like, what do you, oh God, I was like, I'm really still shocked that it's Monday now and he hasn't sent an apology or anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that was really, that was pretty bad. Pretty bad on the Dwayne Haskins, on the sad story for Dwayne Haskins. All right. Anything else? We had baseball start this weekend. I would say if you're looking for some bets in baseball, take the Texas Rangers overs or the other team total overs, because I would say for the season they're probably going to hit, because the Rangers can hit, but they cannot pitch.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was it was nice to see them put up some runs, but they didn't hold the Blue Jays from scoring a whole lot either, so that became the issue.
No, they did not. What other rule changes do we have in baseball this year so far? Have we said in, there's no double headers. They still have I didn't realize they still had the runner on second base.
Yeah.
Or the double headers, I should say. If they do it, there'll be 9-inning games this year, which I like the 7-inning game. I wish they 100%. Would do that. I don't know why the players seem like they didn't like that. I don't know. I enjoyed it, but we still have the runner on second base, which I didn't realize was a rule still. We got the DH and the NL, which I'm all here for. I don't really know what else. I think there's still some rule things in the now you can the catcher and pitcher can wear like a wrist thing for some signs, so there can't be sign stealings or whatever. That's something new. I don't really know what else there is though.
The bases are bigger.
Yes, the bases are bigger.
They moved second base in a little bit without changing the distance, which I don't know how that worked, but
they moved it closer to home plate where people have said it should have been for the longest for where it should have been forever.
So it, I think instead of the front corner being, so they put the back corner of the bag where the front corner once was.
Yes.
I believe that's how they did it. So, but I think that's it. As far as the rule changes, the shift thing that goes into account next season where they are limiting the shift. But I think that's it as far as the rule changes go for this season.
I think so. I think
I hate the runner on second thing. I hate that so much.
I mean, it's whatever. I'm not.
Oh, the Ohtani rule where if
yeah, I do like that.
Yeah, where you know pretty much makes it like little league. Like you can come out of the game at pitcher, but you can still stay in and hit. So yeah,
I think that's smart.
No, 100%, absolutely, it is. Yeah, you absolutely. I mean, he's the only guy. I mean that's why they call it the Ohtani rule. He's the only that guy that it's gonna, be in account for this season. But hey, going forward, 10, 15 years down the road, maybe we see a bunch of other guys doing it too.
Maybe we do that. He is pitching Thursday night in Arlington.
I wasn't a big believer in him as a pitcher. The guy's freaking good.
Yeah.
He can throw it. He can sling it a little bit. I mean, then he's hitting freaking 115 mile an hour balls that are landing as ground rule doubles. Jiminy Christmas.
I'm actually going Wednesday or Thursday night to see him pitch. Nice. So, I'm excited for that. I'm excited.
My former teammate in MLB The Show 2021.
Ohtani?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was not mine. I was drafted by the Rockies.
Say what's up to him for me. See if he remembers me hitting 90 bombs or something.
Can get some pregame field passes for your boy? batting practice passes?
Let's see. I'll have to hit up his translator.
All right. But all right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And talk to you then.